All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Let's start from the book of Matthew chapter 6. It's our school of prayer again. And here we are learning how to pray. There's something I've been saying to us again and again, and that's the fact that God actually answers prayers. It sounds like it's an obvious fact, but sometimes I wonder whether people understand it enough. The main problem is the fact that we do not pray the right prayers. That's why they came to the Lord Jesus at the time and said, teach us how to pray. They said, teach us how to pray. There is a how to praying, and that's what we try to do every time here, to learn how. Now, we have been talking in our other series, that is on Saturdays, we've been talking about the increase of the kingdom of God. And last time I said it again, what we want to do is to take those things and use them as a foundation for prayer during our school of prayer. Let me just explain a few principles there. What I said last time, let me say it again. And that is that the righteousness we are talking about is not by our own strength, it's not by our own power. We have established the fact that if we are going to do what God wants us to do, if we are going to be distinct from the world, if we are going to be the salt of the earth, Jesus said your salt must not lose its saltness. If we are going to be people that are distinguished as light of the world so that our light is not dim, it's not because we have strength in ourselves. Christianity is not a matter of determination. Christianity is a matter of submission. That's what Christianity is. Christianity is not, it is not the man that is strong that makes it in Christianity. It is a man, the woman, that is truly weak, that is the right weakness, all right, that makes it in Christianity. The difference between Jacob and Esau, all right, that was the difference. Jacob was a weak man, all right, like that. Esau was a strong man. And because of his natural strength, Esau didn't feel like he needed anybody's help. And as a result, the Lord described him as a godless man. Godless means that the man does not recognize the role of God in life. I was listening to a message that was coming up this afternoon. I just heard that message again. The man said that one of the things that God hates most, of course, is pride. I've said that before. Pride is one of the things that God hates most. And when you offend God seriously in life, it's when you are not thankful. That thing annoys him. God hates it when people don't recognize him and acknowledge him properly in their lives as the one doing things for them. And you know, I told that David Paulson said that when you see all this sexual perversion that's in the world today, that is not what annoys God. That is a sign that God has given up on people. That when God gives people up, they start behaving like they are mad. And go and read that Romans chapter 1. Why did he give them up? Because they did not give him glory. They did not give him thanks. And if you know something about God, he doesn't take what does not belong to him. If he says he didn't thank me, he means that you should have. I was the one that did it. If he says you didn't give me glory, it means that the glory was mine. You stole it. That's simply what it means. Now, why is it that the glory belongs to him? Why is it that he deserves a thanksgiving? It is because he's actually the one that is working in us. And so the person who God is strongest in his life is a fellow who knows how to weaken himself, his natural self, and then takes on the strength of God. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. Christianity is not how strong I am. Christianity is how weak I am. That's why Jesus said, if they slap you on one right cheek, turn the left. Christianity is not the man is strong. No, it's that the man can do nothing except God pours the ability inside him. That's what Christianity is. That's why Esau was a very strong man, but the Bible said he was godless. And Esau did not cheat anybody, did not steal from anybody. If anything, he was the one something got stolen from. But the issue was that Esau felt, I can do it. I am strong. I have energy. I can read. I can work. I wake up in the morning. I know how to go about my business. I know the strategies. I know the keys. He reads a lot. He knows everything there is to know. He has everything put together. God just looking at him like this. And that guy will fail ultimately. But another one wakes up in the morning. He kneels down and says, God, if you don't bless me, I'm going to die here. I can't do anything in life. I can't face any obstacles. I can't surmount any obstacle. I can't face any challenge. I can't. Except you pour your spirit inside me and help me. Help me. That is the fellow who will make it in life. Are you getting my point? That's why I said last time, before God on the day of judgment, and there's judgment every day anyway, we can never say that he was unjust. That is something we can never say. Reason is that everything he says, do. No matter how hard it is, you can do it. Why? Because he will supply the strength. If you did not do it, you were not willing to do it. That's all. That's God. His willingness God is asking for. There is no temptation in life that God has not kept beside you the ability to resist. If you fall for it deep inside you, you were not planning to resist it. Because if you wanted to, you will turn to him and ask for help, and he will give you the ability to resist. And that's why he's always just. He's always just. That if he condemns anybody for disobedience, he's right. Why? Because if you wanted to obey truly, I would have helped you to obey. You would have turned to me, I would have helped you. That's what Christianity is. So if we are going to maintain our purity as the salt of the earth, as the light of the world, what we use is the mechanism. We said last time, I used the word technology to describe it, of prayer. That is what we use. That's why Jesus said men ought always to pray and not to get tired. Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, he said, pray without stopping. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Never stop. All right? What was he referring to? The prayer is to tap into the strength of God, to have a continuous flow of the Spirit and the ability of God into your life. That's what the prayer is about. Let me preach the message I've been praying again, preaching again and again. I will preach it again. The problem, all right, however, in today's Christians, that we misfire our weapons. That's what the issue is. We have the weapons, but we use them wrongly. And the best example is the one in which you fire against enemies every time. I'm not going to go over that again. Those are unnecessary prayer points. What do we do with our prayers? We use the prayers to do what the Lord Jesus said. That's it. We should go somewhere. Have we read it? That's what the Lord said in that book of Matthew chapter 6. Let's just read it so that it will be that we read it, even though we all know what he said there. All right? From verse 31, it says, do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? The Gentiles, he said, eagerly seek all these things. Your heavenly Father knows, he said, that you need these things. Verse 33 now said, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. Each day, he says, has enough trouble of its own. Now, this was exactly what the Lord said. There's something I just want to say quickly here before we go on into the prayer, in the prayers. If you see, when he began to speak, there's many passages before then from around the beginning of chapter 5. When he began to talk about blessed are the poor, blessed are those who mourn, blessed are you when you are persecuted for righteousness' sake and all of that. He went ahead to teach about you have heard, but I say to you. He tells you, do not murder. They told you, do not murder. But I say to you that anyone who is angry with his brother, okay, is already guilty. He said all of those things. And at the end of the day, he taught extensively. Verse chapter 6, he said, beware of practicing your righteousness before men. He explained all of those things. And that was when I taught them how to pray. When you pray, said all of these things. He now ended it in that end of... not really. He didn't end it yet. He ended it much later. But it was in that context that he now said what he said in what we just read at the end of chapter 6. Okay? Now, what I want to bring out from there is this. You will see that he now said in verse 33, do not seek the other things. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Is that his righteousness that I keep on emphasizing? I believe that everything that he was teaching in that Sermon on the Mount were the things that constituted what he called his righteousness. Now, when we use the word righteousness, let me emphasize it to us again. Righteousness has two sides to it. Righteousness has the positional side, that is the approver that God gives to your person. That it says, you are all right. You are my person. You are on my side. You know, that's the meaning of the word righteousness. But there's a second side of to righteousness, which John calls the doing of righteousness. For example, you will see Paul say in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, he said that he scattered abroad, he gave to the poor, his righteousness abides forever. That word righteousness there refers to his giving to the poor. That's what he was referring to, that what he's doing will abide forever. So John said, he that doeth righteously is righteous. There's a doing of righteousness, you know, righteousness. So the Lord Jesus, when he said, seek first his righteousness, he was referring to doing things the way the Lord wants them done. It's different from, is it a righteous man? That is, which we attain to by faith. The man, the woman who has attained to righteousness by faith, still must seek his righteousness in everything that he or she is doing. Please bear that in mind. And how, what is the result of that? If we seek the righteousness of God, the consequence is that his kingdom advances. I've said it before, that being salt of the earth and light of the world, we may be in the minority in a particular environment, but when we have thoroughly, individually sought his righteousness, what happens is that his kingdom begins to advance because of those our activities. Please bear it in mind. So it's something that we do. You know, we were talking about that last time. Okay, I'm reemphasizing it again for a number of reasons. Okay, now, so what are we teaching in the school of prayer? That for that seeking of his righteousness is a matter of prayer. It's not by our own effort. It's by the strength of God. I've said something to us here before, and I need to say it again. The most important thing, let me quickly say this one before I say that. The most important thing about walking in righteousness is agreeing with God. Let me say it again. The most important thing about walking in righteousness is agreeing with God. The mistake a lot of, they don't realize, oh God, this is, you know, walking with God is actually easy. Getting results with the Lord is actually not difficult. The problem is that people handle these things the wrong way. People want to do what they have not yet agreed with, and then when the thing turns out wrong, they say, you see, I told you it's not doable. Do you follow what I'm going to explain? You know, there was something they said. Well, let me refer to it. They said this man, Thomas Edison tried the filament bulb, which we still use. In fact, the main stage lights we have here are filament bulbs, basically. Or they call this one halogen, but then they still use filament. They are basically, filament bulbs are still everywhere. They are being replaced now little by these LED lights and all of, okay? All those things are getting, they are beginning to replace them. But filament bulbs are still everywhere. Thomas Edison tried the filament bulb, that what will he use to join the two ends so that it will produce light. They said he tried it. I've heard all kinds of estimates. Some say 3,000 times, some say 10,000 times. One thing we are sure of is that he tried it thousands of times. And then they asked the man, how come you tried it, let's assume it was 7,000, just to pick it, the number. You tried it 7,000 times before it worked. He said, no, I was discovering 6,999 ways by which he would not work. The man tried all kinds of foolish things, including goat hair. Some of them will come on, they will light for a quarter of a second and burn. Finally discovered what worked. Then found out that one also burned after a while. And that's okay, it's oxygen that's burned. He tried. Now, the point I'm making is this. Why did he keep trying it? He didn't give this answer. This is my own answer. It is simple. Because he knew it will work. I don't know what I get what I'm saying. Did you catch that? If he wasn't sure it will work, by the time he tries it 1,000 times, it will stop. Why the man kept on trying it was because he was certain this thing must work. Every other thing shows that it should work. And eventually, he had the victory. Let's put it like that. What am I trying to say? If we agree with God, eventually we will get that victory. The problem is that people think, let's go and check whether God is right. Are you getting my point? They start from a position of, let us test him. That is called eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You want to decide. So if the scriptures are clear on the subject, you now say, but my experience. Listen, you will have enough reasons to find out that the scriptures don't make sense. If you are looking for it. Now, remember what I was saying? The most important thing in working with God is to agree. If God says something is doable, I heard Elton John talking on Larry King about HIV, the epidemic of HIV. What would they do? His own solution is put condoms in every bathroom, in every secondary school. That's the kind of solution people like him come up with. Give drugs to people. Do all those things, then you will stop the HIV spread. Show boys how to put condom in their pocket and show the girls how to hide it just in case they need it all of a sudden and the boy doesn't have. They say, what about this abstinence? But he said, no, abstinence does not work. Now, he didn't shout like that, but he was emphatic about it. That it doesn't work, he's been shown not to work. I said, God must be a fool to prescribe what does not work. God just said, what I'm going to do? I'm going to make all of you do what is not doable. And the more he says it, every generation that he influences, they will say it doesn't work. I like one thing Rabbi Zachariah said. I don't know whether he was saying it was, or he was quoting somebody. That the major thing about Christianity is that the real power has not been tested. It's not as if it was tested and it was shown not to work, but that people have not bothered to take the power of God and use it. That's why I'm saying that number one thing when it comes to walking righteousness, you just agree. You don't have to feel like it. Let's take our contemporary society with all the corruption that we have experienced, all right, which a lot of them have been exposed in recent times. One of the things you hear in that kind of in that environment is to tell you that you cannot survive without it. In this country, you must be corrupt. Do you understand? When you start believing that, the power to resist the temptation for corruption, it flies out of the window. It just flies out of the window. And that's why whatever you do in life, let me say it again. I'm not talking about try to obey. I'm not talking about the try to obey. No, don't even try. Don't try. If somebody told a story, I don't know where I heard it now, about a man who was smoking cigarettes. He wanted to stop. He couldn't stop. So he would light a cigarette and do the cigarette. Don't worry. I have power over you. I can stop smoking. I'm going to stop smoking. In fact, I've stopped smoking. Just kept on saying, after a while, he forgot that he had not smoked in a long time. He didn't take it as evidence that I can't smoke. I can't stop because he was smoking. He said, he's smoking. No, you can't. You can't. You? I have won. And then he would still light the cigarette. Now, that's a bit tricky to explain, but then I know what I'm going to bring out from it. I want to bring out the issue that the man said, some will say, it's not doable. See, I've tried 10 times. But Thomas Edison tried thousands of times. Why? He was sure it will work. And the assurance we have is the word of God. Somebody says that you can't do without being corrupt. He said, you can't. Now, you, that, in fact, as you are stealing money, I don't know what I guess my point. Assuming you are right there stealing money. They say, it can be done. I know people who don't do it, and you are stealing your own. You may say that, is that right? Is that not hypocrisy? Let me tell you something. Do you know, now, please understand what I'm about to say. Number one, before I say what I'm about to say, the hypocrisy there is not hypocrisy, really. I'm trying to bring out a point about a mindset, all right? The agreeing with God as a way to overcome the deeds of the flesh. That's the point. The worst group are those who disagree with God and they are open about it. The hypocrite has his influence on the society is not as bad as that of the man who just is an open sinner. Who says that is how it is. Nothing wrong with it. So the man who is doing something but he refuses to agree. He said, this is the deed of the flesh. It is the deed of the flesh. He's sure that God says this is wrong and I can stop doing it. So he says to himself every day, it is wrong, I can stop. Even when he's tried and he's failed. What Satan tries to prove to people every time is that that idea that God gave you is wrong. I told this story many times using Mary Kate Ashley's husband, all right? The man tried to stop smoking for a very long time, and he was sure it was not possible.
But you know, the day he found the right motivation, he stopped overnight. When they told him, it was just proven to him that you're also killing your wife, not only yourself. The love he had for his wife never smoked again. This was a man who had tried for decades to stop smoking. And people were trying to persuade him, you are hurting yourself. He would try. After 4 or 5 days, he's back to smoking. And one day somebody told him that, listen, your wife is also going to die as a result of your habits. That he read it in a magazine. That was the last day he smoked. Many things we can't stop in life is that we don't have enough motivation. If many of us believed in hellfire, we'll stop some of these we're doing. When you consider it, you go, look, it's not ordinary poverty. We'll suffer on this earth. It's not hunger. And then we'll die and go to heaven. If we really believe that God sends criminals to hellfire, many of us will stop. But back to what I'm saying. So the number one thing is, never disagree with him. No matter what you experience, no matter how you feel, no matter what you are even doing, that's what I was going to emphasize. Don't ever disagree. Once you agree with God, that's the point I'm making, you take his words to prayer, then he pours the power to obey and fulfill those words into your life. That is what I'm saying. That is what I'm saying. That is why I keep on saying, it is wise for a believer to do what you have done this evening. Take time out to come and settle and listen to God's word. Because once the word convinces you, do you understand my point? Then you have something to take to God in prayer, and then he releases the power of obedience into your life. That thing is very important. That is how we spread the kingdom. That's what we use prayer for. Prayer is not so that we can kill our enemies. It is those who are on the side of Satan that deliberately pray that another human being will die. Are you getting my point? You are an accuser of people. I said something last time. You may say, I've prayed that this is my boss that says I will not be promoted. What is he waiting for? He will do what? Die by fire. No problem. Some people will actually die, especially when they are sinners. The only problem is that you have killed somebody just like a witch doctor will have killed somebody. The fact that you're a Christian has not changed it. You're as guilty as that witch doctor. Especially since you use the same principle, just don't realize it. You think I use God. What do you think witch doctor used? They use the same principle. It's the principle of accusation and obtaining judgment from above. Only one person on this earth can decree death. Only one person. That's God in heaven. Nobody else has that power. You think the devil can just walk in and just kill anybody he likes? Did he smoke something? No. Look at what he did to Job. Every time he had to come to the presence of God to bring forth arguments, then God will release something and give him the extent. I've given you all his goods. Don't touch him. Satan will go out and do a lot of things. Then he will return. Okay, take his health, but you can't touch his life. No matter how bad that disease was, Job was not going to die. Again, that's not my main message. It's what we use our prayers for. So don't be testifying about bad things. Don't. You have enemies, what do? You pray for them. Fight the devil. The weapons, our warfare is against principalities and powers, not against human beings. You fight the devil in your prayer, but never human beings asking that they should die. Please, don't ever do that. That's not the word of God. What do you do with prayer? That's what we're talking about. We use prayer to seek his righteousness. That's what I was saying. Righteousness is how God says we should do things. Righteousness is what God says is the right thing to do. Righteousness is the method you operate by in life that is in accordance, in agreement with divine order. Many times, last time I gave an extreme example, but I was so happy many people were surprised to hear it, simply because it lets you know the amount of praying you need to do. I gave an example that if you promise somebody, I'll give you your money by tomorrow morning, if you do it tomorrow afternoon, it's a sin. I agree, it's not a sin unto death. We know we are different. You know they are different. We have proven here before that sins have different levels. Many of us, in fact, I was listening to one man here, David Paulson, talk about natural disasters. He said when people die, he preached that message the week after the tsunami hit in Indonesia and killed many people in India also, many of those places around there. Now, he said that if you understand the mind of God and the way things are really spiritually, You will not ask the questions other people ask. Why is it that a good God allowed many people to die? He said no. You will say, why didn't we all die? Why did the rest of us survive? What was he trying to say? That we are all evil. The person was explaining that we actually deserve to die. That questioning why did some people die is wrong. It is, why are we still surviving? I'm talking about the word evil, all right? I'm going somewhere. Many of us actually think we are good. And that was the problem with Job. You know, I keep on saying that thing. People say that, no, God never explained why Job suffered. Actually, he did. And the summary of the explanation is that Job is comfortable. Job is a good man. Job was the best man on the earth. And I've prospered him because he was a good man. However, he had reached a level where he thought that was the height of righteousness. The suffering of Job was never Satan's idea. Satan had given up on Job. The suffering of Job was initiated by God himself. Go and read the scriptures. He called Satan. Where are you coming from? You know, just moving around. Nothing happening. Say, you're moving around. Have you considered my servant Job? He said, that guy, you have already blessed him. And you put a hedge around him. They now began to accuse. It was God that pointed out, did you see Job? That is, if God didn't say anything that day, Satan would have continued going. Because the evil guy had given up on Job. They had tried many times. He had given up on Job. Even Satan did not. Some of us think that there are two things happening up there. There's good and there is bad. God is in charge of good. Satan is in charge of bad. That's the way an average person reasons. It's arrant nonsense. It's nonsense reasoning. Total rubbish. Satan and God are not equal and opposite. You know, we unconsciously think, for example, that Satan can read your mind. He can't. He doesn't know what you are thinking, except God gives him a word of knowledge. Honestly. Satan is not, he has to judge based on experience. And then, of course, certain thoughts in the realm of the spirit, they are loud, so even angels can hear them. But the tendency of your heart, he has to say, that guy last time, what did he do? He has to walk by experience with you. Only God is above everybody. We must understand that. What I'm saying is that he didn't understand these things also. So he gave up. He gave up on Job. That this fellow, because he will come near and see the guard of angels around. He could not even come to a serious temptation. Now listen to this. Job was the best man on the earth. And you must understand when somebody is the best. He becomes the standard that everybody is aspiring to. I don't know whether I get my point. Just by the way, that's why many of the churches we have these days, mark my words, God will break them apart. You know why? They set the pastor on top. He's the best. Everybody looks to him. Error. Today's Christianity is madness. You are not that good. There's no human being that's that good. It's okay for young Christians to have a mentor. You get my point? But you must understand, man of God, you are just one of those many men of God. And you are still a man. Forget that thing that one of our big brothers said that no man of God goes against God. It's a lie. There's a man of God who disobeyed God in the Bible. And the Bible never gave us his name. He called him the man of God. Someone recently, someone said that as a man of God, you can't go against God. Lie. God killed that man of God. Sent a lion to kill the man of God. Man of God, he died. Man of God, they sin. Man of God, they lie. There were two men of God. Then one lied to the other. Let me not get sidetracked. You don't put it. Now, what people focus on that they become like. And the best man on the earth was Job. So you know what God did? Ha. This guy is going to die like this and be the best fellow on the earth. And he's not good enough. He's just the best amongst men. But he was not so good. So God shook him up a bit. And at the end of the day, let me just summarize because I don't want to stay there. There's some point I want to bring out. At the end of the day, what happened to Job was that all the while, when his friends tried to point out to him what they understood as sin, all they understood as sin is, you see, you were pretending like you were not womanizing. You must have been doing it behind our backs. Go and read. That's what they told him. You look like a righteous man. You were cheating people we did not know. Job said to them, we went to the same school. We were trained by the same people. We have the same standard of righteousness. None of these things that you are, you know, accusing me of, did I ever do? Find another explanation for why I'm in trouble. Let's make a long story short. When the Lord was going to speak, he did not say anything that Job did. He just described himself to Job. And the moment he described himself to Job, Job repented in dust and ashes. What was he saying? Before now, I was the best man I knew. The moment I saw God, I realized how far inferior to him I was. That why am I saying I suffered? The question is, why was I even blessed in the first place? I don't know whether you got that. It is not that I suffered. It's why was I even blessed at all? Because if this is a God, if this is the person I'm supposed to be working with, look at his standards. Look at where I am. What noise was I making? And like I said to you, one of the things that God said about Job when he was talking was things that when you hear it, he said, so this is a sin? Where were you when I created this? Job said, where was I supposed to be? Had you created me that time? Do you know why this happened like this? Job had, that is, if I say this to you, you'll be surprised. God said, ignorance is a sin. For you not to understand and be able to defend the actions of God, you are a sinner. If you read the scriptures, now, just like people must understand what sin is. Sin is not, we, you know, if you say count sin, we all know that, in fact, our sins are based on 10 commandments. That shall have no other gods before me. God, though you see, oh, I have no shigidi in my house. See, oh, I don't make any graven image. I'm not jealous. That you count it, 10 commandments, and that's all. But when God was counting for Job, listen to me. Job heard things. At the end of the day, Job felt like nothing. He said, now I repent in dust and in ashes. And God never accused him directly of those things his friends were accusing him of. That matter to bring out. When we're talking about the righteousness of God. Last time I said that if you give your word, tell somebody, I'll pay you in the morning, you pay in the afternoon. To us human beings, it's okay. But these were the kind of things that God described himself, all right, about. And Job realized that I thought I was an honest man by paying still. Once I pay, I'm okay. But God said, no, if I said I'll pay in the morning, you knew I'll pay in the morning. He didn't say more than that. Then Job, next time Job paid in the afternoon, when he said he'll pay in the morning, he said, Lord, I am sorry. I said I'll pay in the morning, but please have mercy upon me for not paying in the morning. Why? Suddenly the righteousness of God had become the standard of Job. So when Jesus says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, it's a lifelong assignment for you and for me. It's a life. What I'm going to say is that we keep getting better. And that is what we do with prayer. I'm back to the issue of prayer. Please, I hope you're getting the point I'm making here. So when he says, seek first, listen, last time, what I said last time, I know some people say, hey, what do you mean? If, when I go home, I say, ah, what difference? I said, the way we should think is that as long as you still pray, I say, well, even me talking, I do that. I'm not saying that I am a righteous man. No, I still do that. But what I'm going to say is this. Let's go back to the story of Thomas Edison. I know I can get there. So I keep working till I get there. I keep working till I get there. And that's what I use prayer for. Not to look, ah, at least. You know, that Pharisee, you know what happened when he went to pray? I'm not like other men. God said, who gave you men as a standard? Who gave you other men as a standard? Jesus said, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Why you say, well, I'm not like other men? That's the problem. That's why we think we can come to God and ask for anything. After all, we have given more than other men. When I see people come upstairs, sometimes I start talking. That time I said, what will happen? I gave this amount. I said, God, I'm writing a book. It will soon come out. Like I had written 2/3 of it then. My computer had a problem. So I formatted it and I had not backed it up. The summary of the book is what you saw in that tract. How to receive from God. This one, the whole book is titled How to Receive from God. It's going to come out over the next few, before this year is over, it should be out. But I'm going to work on it. There's another one I'm working on. And once I'm done with that, I get back to one, then get back to this other one. Now, I'm bringing out an issue here. You know, I'm starting the book that they have taken away the Lord. I don't know where they have laid him. See all those testimonies you hear? Here he quotes me. They have taken away Jesus. I don't know where they laid him. If any man comes out and says, when I dropped this offering, then God began to move. His head is spiritually not correct. I know many of them, is the lack of correctness of their heads is ignorance. But I told you earlier, ignorance itself is a problem. Seek first the kingdom of God. Go and seek knowledge. Pursue it. Seek knowledge. Pursue it. How can you come? I see them do it every day. It irritates my soul to the bones. You take away the Lord. I don't know where you kept him. What did Jesus die for? If I have to give an offering to be blessed. What did he die for? If I have to wave a tithe booklet to claim a blessing. What did he die for? If my supplies do not respond to my prayer, it responds only to my seed. If it cannot procure for me a blessing, that cross is useless. I hear it every day. I'm fed up. Start giving stupid testimonies that take away from the grace of Christ. Like I keep on saying, should Christians give? If you are not a giver as a Christian, you are a sinner. It's the same like lying. It's the same thing. Anytime God gives, it's like stealing also. Like I said the other time, there are many preachers that are lying now to collect money, to do things that the day God is going to judge, he's going to judge two people. He will judge them and the person he gave the money to give to them that made them hungry. Because even the Bible says that when I'm hungry, I will steal. That one of the dangers of hunger is stealing. He said, give me food that is convenient for me. Don't make me too rich. Don't make me too rich. He said, when I'm poor, I will steal. That's what he said in the book of Proverbs. So sometimes the people who make other people become so hungry that they have to steal. God says, the day that man starts stealing, I carry two of you. You that stole, and you that the man that made him so hungry that he could not eat. Why? Because I sent his food to you. That's how we Christians reason. For us, given his faithfulness, it has nothing to do with, am I going to get? No, it's faithfulness. If I say this to you to surprise you, the truth is that God really doesn't give you anything personally for giving. Nothing. Yes, I mean it like that. So if I give 10,000, won't God give me 100,000 naira? No, he will not. He won't. What do you mean? That's contrary to everything I've heard. Yes, everything you have heard is a lie. You have been sowing a seed for your future, rubbish. If it's money. You say, wait, Banky, please clarify this. You are suspending me too much. I'll clarify it. Anyone who does good works is considered faithful in good works doing and is empowered to do more. Did you hear what I said? What did he say? He said, he that ministers seed to the sower and bread for food will both multiply what? Your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of, well, you can modify the Greek, by increasing the harvest of your righteousness. And increase the harvest of your righteousness. What am I going to say? That is, what does he do? This boy gave 10,000 naira. He's a good man to send on assignment. Give him 1,000,000. For himself? No. So that next time we need 1,000,000, he has to give. Are you getting my point? This is how life is. God made a covenant with the earth. Food will always be available. Go and read your Bible. When the rain falls, it falls on the ungodly. Are you getting my point? Listen, the birds of the air don't sow any seed. They just fly about. They find food. That is divine order. Sinners eat. One of my friends, they used to do a ministry to police cell. The only thing they did, two things. One, they fed the condemned armed robbers. That's divine order. He has to eat. And two, they preach the gospel. That's how God has arranged it. That's what life is about. So that you have food to eat has nothing to do with your offering. The only reason why God will deny you food is if you don't have thanksgiving in your mouth. The only seed for having food continually on your table is thanksgiving. Anytime you get a biscuit, give thanks. You get a huge piece of cake, give thanks. Anytime you get anything, give thanks. That guarantees the next one. What does your offering do? What does your giving do? I will tell you. It makes you a faithful steward. So God says, you have been faithful in a little thing. Be in charge of what? 10 cities. You know why that is important for you to know? So that when they put you in charge of 10 cities, you don't cross your leg and say, look at it now, I'm rich. I am not rich. I'm now a bigger servant. So I continue the faithfulness that brought me to this level. I am not sowing a seed so that one day I will get to a point where I'll not be rich. My children cannot fly abroad. That is the problem. That is what irritates me about many of these testimonies I hear. If you want to take your wife and children abroad, get on your knees and ask God for it. It will work you a miracle. But if you are giving offerings and doing good works, and God gives you plenty, it is not for you and your children to go anywhere. It is for you to continue doing that thing you were doing before. Please, I'm not, nobody should even, sometimes people misunderstand me. They say that bank secretaries you don't give me. How can I say that? Like I keep on saying, you think, what you see here in Kingdom World means is the smallest of the things we do. Where does the money come from? Christians. Children of God who believe in the work of God. So I believe in giving. I give also. It's my life. However, not for these funny reasons. The problem is, I don't know where I fell from. The problem, all right, is that people take away from the Lord. That's what I'm trying to say. They don't understand that the reason why you are living, the reason why you will prosper in life is because of the grace of Christ. It's because of His grace. Don't take anything away from it. Don't take anything away from it. Don't ascribe anything to yourself. Don't come and give any foolish testimony. Like when I gave $10,000, you know God surprised me with a million. Please don't say it. Don't say it. Just thank Him. Just thank Him. Lord, thank you for the million. Thank you because you're a good God. Thank you I have 10,000 to give. Thank you I have a million to give. Thank you I have food. Thank Him, thank Him, thank Him, thank Him. Never think anything came to you because of what you did. Everything that comes because God is good. Comes because Jesus died for you. It comes because Jesus has released the blessing of God upon you. As long as you have faith in Him, the blessings of God will continually come into your life. Don't take away from the Lord, please. Don't share His glory. Don't use style. God, you did try, but me self, I did try. You know that kind of thing? No, I hear it all the time. You know where I am today? I'm a dangerous giver. Rubbish. People gave more than you. Died in Abacha cell. What have you given that Bela did not give? He died in Abacha cell. Those who have given more than you got beheaded. Forget all of those things. I've been warning Christians. Because this lie you are hearing. Were you the one telling me, Israel, that one man was hearing, he said, God said to him prophetically, I'm about to come and judge these things. God's going to shut all of this rubbish up very soon. Just watch it. You will give, anybody give that, they'll go broke. They just come and say, I just sow a seed today, half a million. God said, good, that's the last half a million you see until you say, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Now that man will say, praise the Lord. Last night I was just worshiping, but I was worshiping. I woke up next morning, I had 10 million. You go and learn worship. Oh, what was I trying to say? Okay, I can't remember exactly where I went into that, but I know the thing, my train of thought. It's for us to understand why Job suffered. That's what I'm going to make. Now, I talked about that. Talking about righteousness, that we keep on increasing in righteousness. That's what we pursue. It's as we pursue His righteousness that every other thing cannot flow into our lives. And that's my emphasis. What do I mean by seeking His righteousness? Okay, and I remember the very point where I went into that talk. That the man said, no. It's not why the many die, it's why are we still alive? The man was trying to prove a point. That compared, now I'm adding my own words now, okay? But compared to our standard, who is God, there's so much improvement to make in our lives. We may be like Job, thinking that we have done everything that we know. But the truth is that even though we have done everything that we know, there's so much more that we do not know. And seeking His righteousness is to continually pray to God. Show me more. And this is the thing about Christianity. The more God shows to you, the more righteousness you walk in. I've given you, just to give you a few practical examples, I've told you some experience I've had in life before. One of them was, I read the scriptures one day. He said, like a madman throwing firebrands and arrows, so is a man who deceives his neighbor and says, was I not joking? That was the last day, more than 25 years ago, that I played April Fool. Since then till now, I don't play April Fool. Before then, an average Christian said, what's the big deal? It's a joke. But I read the scriptures that only madmen behave like that. Bishop Oedipo said one day he read the scriptures and he found out that he used to be a very angry man, hot-tempered. And he found out that anger lies in the bosom of a fool. That's it. Like I said, Thomas Edison, 10,000 times. He doesn't say, no, it's just my nature. That's one nonsense thing that I hear Christians say once in a while. That's just the way I am. Who cares who you are? You find out the truth, you start adapting yourself to it. So even though I find that I'm hot-tempered, the Bible has said it clearly, anger lies in the bosom of a fool. I start praying and praying hard and praying and confessing the word of God, declaring the word until I earn a reputation like Ben Carson. Ben Carson that took it, the day he knew his anger was bad was when he started beating his mother. Except that his brother was there and his brother caught his hands. That guy just grabbed him. That didn't drive him to prayer, but he knew it was bad. And then one day he took a knife and sank it into his friend's stomach over a small argument. That boy would have died but for one thing. He was wearing a belt with a big buckle. And the buckle was under his shirt. So the knife hit this thing and either bent or broke. Ben Carson said that day he ran home. He entered into his closet, was there for hours begging God. When he came out, he was so gentle that in America, that's this racism thing, they insulted him. Did not know. Thought he was an oddly. Meanwhile, he was a resident in neurosurgery. He said, but he never got angry. He worked in Johns Hopkins and earned a reputation, Gentle Ben. That was his name. He was so gentle. Very calm human being he became. Why? Because one day, the scriptures, the life opened to him and he saw what he was like. Why I told the story is because the way revelation, when revelation comes to us, Bishop Oedipo said he just read the scriptures. I read my Bible and I never cracked that joke again. I told another one, I work with a man who's visually impaired. And then one day I was reading the scriptures. And then my colleagues, they will just, give sign. The man can't see you. You give sign to talk behind him. And the Bible says, you must never insult the deaf. That scripture just showed me that. Look at God's level of righteousness. Since that time, if the man is coming, and he doesn't know I'm coming, and I said, if he was seen, will he see me? The answer is yes. So I say, good afternoon, sir. Who is that? I started treating him, that is, if I could dodge a normal seeing person, then I would dodge him. But if I said that no, normal seeing person would have seen me, no, I said I'm disobeying the righteousness of God if I do this. That started just a few years ago, just by reading the scriptures. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. No matter how good you are, there is a gooder you can be. My English is necessary to make these scriptures clear. That's why God is our standard. That's the point I'm making. God is our standard. He's our standard. So we go after knowledge because the more of him we know, the more of him we become like. When Jesus came, he was revolutionary. He said, slap you on the right cheek, turn the left. The people said, wait, what are you talking about? It's based on revelation. There was something about God he understood the rest of them did not know. That's a matter of fact. Sometimes when you are busy defending yourself, you lose that entirely. Please, I hope you're getting the point I'm making. Yes, that's just what it is. That's why that prayer, that's what I'm talking about with our school of prayer. That's what we do with prayer. Remember, I emphasize, just agree with God. Don't disagree. Forget how you feel. Forget what you have been doing. Forget what you're even likely to do tomorrow. I remember one of my friends said something once. I invited him to fellowship in school. He said, why he doesn't want to come is that, you come to fellowship now, you stop sinning. Then you come back, you continue sinning. That's foolish talk. Just come and hear the word of God, then go back to your sin if you like. In quote, now you understand my point, too. Because the truth is that if you come hear the word, open your heart, submit your heart to it, that word will enter into you and clean out the sin. But when Satan starts deceiving you that, you know, you can't, this thing, don't forget it. This is just how you are. Don't ever forget that Thomas Edison I talked about earlier. Even if you fail 10,000 times, if you never disagree with God, you will eventually win. When Satan says this, you know this is how you are. He said, but that's not how the word of God is. The word of God is not my the word of God is my standard, not how I am. I don't look at myself every day. I look at the word of God. I look at what it says about me. If I believe what it says about me, listen, the word will act on me and make me different. What am I talking about? Seeking his righteousness. So what I said last week was not a joke. It's possible. Get to a time that if you say we'll do something in the morning, and like I said last time, don't forget it. When God sees that it's serious to you, he starts making the events of life cooperate. It will get to a point in life. If you tell somebody, I'll be there by 6 o'clock. And by 4, and the place is 6 hours drive away. You don't have a private jet. And by 4 o'clock, you're in Enugu and you are still busy. If God says this boy is so important to him, this girl will never let this happen. You know, Jesus said, greater works will he do. There are strange things Jesus never did, men did in modern times. You know what happened to Philip? Did not happen to Jesus. What was the greatest supernatural, that's physical feat Jesus performed on his own person? He was walking on water. Philip did not walk on water. He rode on the air. He disappeared in one place and reappeared somewhere else. That did not happen to Jesus according to our records while he was on earth. I heard of one man. One day I heard this story. My cold catch me. He said, the man will finish preaching somewhere. Maybe assume he's preaching in Enugu now. And he's finishing by 6, supposed to be in Benin, preaching from 6 o'clock. He's just finishing at 6 o'clock. He will open this door to go out. And that door becomes the door of the place he's going in Benin. He's walking into the next place. The day I heard the testimony, cold. Nothing. So what happened to Philip is not, it's not a joke. Not as if he planned it to. We're supposed to be preaching where next? Let's start going. As he opens the door in his hand is the door of the next place. And he's walking into their hall. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's how the kingdom of God advances. I'm looking at my time. I wanted to do some things, but I've spoken so much. Let me just summarize in a few statements. We use our prayer, that's what we're talking about, to advance the kingdom in us. We use our prayers to advance the kingdom in us. That is what we use it for. And I've explained what it means to advance the kingdom in us. That's what it means. It means to keep on getting better. Do you know, under the old covenant, they said thou shalt not commit adultery. Jesus said, under the new covenant, thou shalt not imagine thinking about coming close to even possibly adventuring into mind ideas about. Do you get my point? He drove it down. Then you just wake up one morning, will you that grew up with thou shalt not do? Then I said, thou shalt not think. Are you getting my point? Becomes prayer. I said something the other day. Stealing, we know is bad. But many of us don't even understand the meaning of the word covetousness, which is the foundation for stealing. You know what it means to covet? Many of us don't know how covetous we are. Covetousness is any intense desire for something you don't have currently, no matter how good it is. That's covetousness. I've heard different preachers, two of them now, explain that the average, okay, one is British, the other is American, that the average person in their society is rich by God's standards. That's New Testament standards. Prosperity has come to the world over the last hundreds of years. That when the Bible talks about you rich, that most people in those countries qualify. That you know nobody complains more than them. That is, the average Christian there is covetous. If I say this, it will surprise you. You have a phone, you use it for 6 months, nothing wrong with it. You just see your friends when you want it, it's covetousness. Yeah. If you ask, where's Angelina? Oh, she went to London, she and her children. And you go down and kneel down and say, God, take me to London, me and my children. You're a covetous person. I know so this is difficult for some people to digest. But I'm telling you the meaning of covetousness. What God expects is that just thank God for where you are and relax there. You're not a Muslim. You don't have to go to Mecca once in your life. If you can't live... No, I'm serious. If you know the standards of Christianity, many of the things you save up for, you never will. Because that saving is a sign of covetousness. Don't worry. Revelation will take you one level to another. Amen? The point I'm just making is this. You don't just wake up in the morning and say, I don't want to do that, I want to do this. No. It is, you start praying. As God gives you one level of understanding, you pray yourself into that operation. You hold that standard up. It becomes your... That's why you can seek first the kingdom of... And if you remember, Jesus talked about this in the context of prayer. Do you know that? It was in the context of prayer. And I said something last time, that if Jesus said, don't do this, he told you what to do. If God says, don't do this, he tells you what to do. So when he says, don't worry about this, don't pray like this, he now gave you what to pray for. So anytime you kneel down to pray, the primary prayer point, when it comes to your personal life, there's intercession for other people. We've talked about how to pray for people you love, how to intercede for a nation. We've talked about all of those things, and we'll keep on talking about them. But we're talking about your own personal life. The primary prayer point must be on seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness. The kingdom of God is first established in you. Why? That is how? By this righteousness being established inside you. Every day we keep getting better. We keep getting better. There are things we think they are small today. Tomorrow we realize that they are inferior to where God wants us to be. So by prayer, we move up to that level. And we will do this until one day you open your eyes, you have left this physical body, and you have become a spiritual, you now have a spiritual body, and you are standing literally in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is when that prayer will stop. Because by that time, you will see him exactly as he is, and then you automatically become exactly like him. I hope you've gotten my point. Let's rise to our feet, therefore, and pray. There are another scriptures I wanted to read. Let me just start with one. If you have your Bibles open to this, we'll read it together. Psalm 139. Psalm 139. Just open your Bibles there. I'm going to verse 23. All right, David says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting ways. Let's read together from verse 23. Let's go. One, two, go. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. Let's take it one more time. Louder. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. That's prayer point number one. Please take a minute and pray about that. Just read that scripture again. You don't have to use plenty words. You can, if you like, just read that scripture again and again. And say, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. These are the things you pray about. Everybody just say after me, say, search me, O Lord. Show me my heart. That's very important. All right? Say, search me, O Lord. Let me know what's the anxious thought inside me. It's very important. Let me just say something to you quickly before we continue. God leads people, amen? I like to always preach this to Christians. They say, what is God saying to you? Many times, you know, T.D. Jakes said, no truly powerful person talks all the time. God doesn't always talk the way we think. In my assessment, 9 times out of 10 that a Christian says God said to me, or the Holy Spirit said to me, the truth is that it was a combination of their of the Holy Spirit, which is actually the word of God, has been imbibed into their hearts, and their own anxious thoughts, their own personal desires. That's it. Does God speak to people? I say all the time, yes, he does. Does he speak often? No, he doesn't. Personalized talking, not an often thing. Why not? It's unnecessary. The way he wants you to walk is basically by knowledge of right and wrong, according to the scriptures. So if you want to make a decision, this is the number one way that I understand by you do it. Not, Lord, speak to me. Say, Lord, I want, look, these are the issues I want to decide. Why am I going this way? Why am I going that way? This scripture is very, very crucial. Search me, O Lord, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. What do you mean by anxious thoughts? Sometimes it's, no, I can't marry a man like that will make me suffer the way my mother suffered. It's there in your heart. You don't talk about it, though. So any man that looks like your father, you should just forget it. You should forget it. Especially if it's the same profession as your father. That's it. Forget it. Forget it. No matter what your father, that is forget it. So Holy Spirit speak. Holy Spirit, I can't talk. Your anxious thoughts, they have blocked the way. That's why if you want to make decisions as a Christian, this prayer point is crucial. Say, Lord, search me. Know my anxious thoughts. Very important. And for me, that's what I added to it. Say, Lord, let me know them. Why? So I can confess them. Because this mouth is so powerful with God. Once you open your mouth and say, Lord, see what the matter is, it starts healing you. The majority of times, we know what is right to do if all these thoughts are taken out of our hearts. But it's when God speaks to him. God says, even if I wanted to talk, you can't hear. So what should you do? Say, Lord, let's pray this prayer again. Especially since you have a decision you want to make. Say, Lord, why is it that I say, okay, oh, it is, I can't stay in Enugu. I must go to maybe Abakaliki. I can't stay in Enugu. I must go to Oka. I can't stay in Enugu. I can't stay in Lagos. I must come to. What is it? I told there was a time I was leaving Lagos. I was leaving. Until I listened to a message by David Oyedepo. I go home. I realized the only thing that was making me leave was not because it was out of the will of God, that Lagos was out of the will of God for me at that time. It was because I hated the stress. That's all. That night, while listening to that word, I changed my mind. And next day, my life became easier because I began to take some steps that made life easier for me. And when the time was ripe, I packed my things and came to Enugu. Please, let's pray that prayer again. It's very important. Say, Lord, search me. Talk to yourself. You know, say, Lord, search me. What are the anxious thoughts that are pushing me in this life? Like I said, covetousness makes a man steal. He said, Lord, why am I always stealing? God said, stealing is not your problem. Covetousness is what your problem is. Say, Lord, show me my heart. Elijah said, that which I do not see, teach me. Next prayer point, say, Lord, what is the next level that I must aspire to? Because I want to go on in this race of righteousness, in this perfection of righteousness. Say, Lord, open my eyes that I might behold wonderful things out of thy law. Very important prayer. Say, Lord, open my heart, my eyes, so that I will behold wonderful things, wondrous things out of thy law. Why? Because when I see them, I become like them. Very important. This is what we Christians are supposed to do in prayer. It is forbidden for you to wake up every day and say, Lord, I need more money. I need a bigger house. This year you will give me my car. This year you will give me my wife. This year you will give me my husband. Those are unnecessary. Those are Gentiles' prayers. This year you will give me my wife. God said, don't pray like that. Say, Lord, this year I want to understand what it means to be a husband. Give me revelation. Like Christ is a husband to the church, I want to be like Christ. That's a prayer point, too. That one brings wife faster. Like the perfect church will be a bride to Christ. I want to be like that. That brings the husband quicker, quicker, quicker. Oh, this seed for business, so if you sow seed for husband, it's not bringing anything. Say, sow into the life of a couple you admire. Around nonsense. Start going and sow into the life of a book that will tell you the truth. Some of those things, you only do them by special revelation. Not all this one we do generally in the body of Christ. Things that happen one in a million times. Some of them, Jesus will say, see that you tell no man. Say, Lord, what is the next level? What is imperfect in me? What do I need to move up to? What is the step I need to take in this my journey of becoming exactly like you? For some, revelation is for quietness. You talk too often. Before you hear half a matter, you have finished judging it. God said, how will I lift you up to become a head of state like this? You will cause war in the country. Say, Lord, open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things out of thy law. Say, Lord, I don't want to die like Job, thinking I'm perfect. I don't want to die like Job, thinking I'm perfect. No. That is like Job was. I want to get better. Everybody say after me, say in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Say louder, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I have the Spirit of Christ.
I have the Spirit of Christ.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I have been made righteous by his blood.
I have been made righteous by his blood.
Say it again. I have been made righteous by his blood.
I have been made righteous by his blood.
Therefore, I have the Spirit of God inside me.
And is making me become like him.
Yeah, there's a process. You see, there's a process. And that's what we must understand. There's a process. Say, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I'm becoming more like Christ every day.
I'm becoming more like Christ every day.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I'm pursuing after righteousness.
I'm pursuing after righteousness.
All other things have been added unto me.
All other things have been added unto me.
That is very important. What Jesus was saying, just pursue this, you will get things you did not even pray for. That's it. Just pursue this, you will get things you did not even pray for. Say, in the name of Jesus,
in the name of Jesus,
I pursue after righteousness.
I
seek the kingdom of God.
All other things are added
unto
me.
I don't pray like the Gentiles.
I
am not worried about what I will eat. I am not worried about what I will eat.
Or what I will drink.
Or with what will I clothe myself. I am concerned about righteousness.
I'm
becoming more like Christ.
That's my prayer point.
And that I receive by faith.
In the name of Jesus
Christ. Say it again. Say, I cut off every umbilical cord that ties me to my origin.
I am not a Hittite.
I am no longer an Amorite. But I am a child of God. Now, for those who don't understand, we know we studied about the kingdom of God then, the kingdom life. They said, listen, we are not Hittites. That he was talking about Israel. So your father was an Amorite, your mother a Hittite, or which one of them was the other anyway. He said, but then God said, you know, there was a time you were born. Anyway, you know the story of the story. We talked about it then. When we were saying that, listen, I am not an Igbo man. I'm not a Yoruba man. I'm not described by the way I come from. I'm not a Hausa man. I am a child of God. That's it. That is the primary thing. I am a child of God. I hear some people say that you are a Gentile. I'm not a Gentile. I'm a Christian. A Christian can never be a Gentile. You're either a Jew or a Gentile or a Christian. You are not a Jewish Christian. It's when people don't understand things fully. Once you become a Christian, you're no longer a Jew. Once you become a Christian, you're no longer a Gentile. You are not. It's like saying somebody who is in heaven is still of the earth. You know, once you've died, you're no longer of this earth. So declare again, say in the name of Jesus,
in the name of Jesus,
I am not an Amorite.
I have cut off the attachment to being a Hittite.
I am from above.
I am born of God.
Therefore, my life shows that. It manifests the nature of God.
I am getting better every day.
I'm not the person I used to be.
I am getting better every day.
I am becoming more like Christ Jesus.
A true reflection of God the Father.
Say it again. I am becoming more like Christ Jesus.
A true reflection of the Father.
Now let's not ever forget. Jesus said that if in the time of temptation, you draw near to the throne of grace, you obtain mercy and find grace to help. At that time of temptation.
the time that life wants to mold you into its own form, you say no. You say no. Remember, I started today by saying never disagree. Even if you are doing what is wrong, never disagree with God. That is, you are doing what is wrong. Don't say you understand the situation. Say, this one is wrong. The word of God says differently. Father God, help me. You pray like that, you think like that, it will not be that bad, but even if it took 10,000 trials of Thomas Edison, one day your light bulb will shine. Are you getting my point? I said earlier, Thomas Edison knew that this thing will work. He failed many times, but then because he knew it will work, it worked. If you always agree with God, with the power of prayer, that is, the law came by Moses. Grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. That power of prayer is what we have. Don't ever forget it. There is no reason to be conformed to this world. There's no reason to fall for every temptation. Never justify it. It was because, don't justify it. Just utter the word of God. That brings power to walk above sin into your life. I hope you've gotten my point. Let's begin to give the Lord thanks. Our time is gone. Say, Lord, we thank you. Say, Lord, thank you for the power to walk above sin. Say, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Say, Lord, thank you for the power to walk above sin. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Say, Lord, thank you for the power to walk above sin. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Say, Lord, thank you for the power to walk above sin. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Thank you for the power not to be conformed to this world. I will not be conformed to this world. I'm being transformed. My mind is being renewed. Say, I'm being transformed and my mind is being renewed. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Father, we give you thanks for today. In Jesus' name we have prayed.